Hallelujah. If you would, just turn with me to Ephesians 3. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me the other day, He said, receive my fullness. He said, ask for it and receive it. Ask for it and receive it. Who wants His fullness? Who wants exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or think? That's what's in His fullness. Who wants to be part of that corporate eyewitness? That's in His fullness. Who wants to be part of an apostolic reformation that not only changes you, but it changes a nation? That's what's in His fullness. Those are the things that we're looking for, and those are the things we're looking to see Him release, is that fullness. But what I began to see is there's somewhere that this fullness comes from. We'll jump in here at verse 16. It says that He would grant you, this is Paul praying, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So what we're seeing here is that it is the love, it's the agape love, because that love is agape. It's the agape love of God that activates the fullness. What He told me is that this agape love of God is an immutable force. An immutable force. Go ahead, you can look it up, I had to. It means it's not changing. It never changes. His force, the force of His love, will go forth forever. Forever. When you release love, it continues on. They say that the words that you speak, when you speak a word, that that word actually continues on. The size of the amplitude of those sound waves gets smaller and smaller and smaller, but they say that the words that Christ spoke are still circulating this earth. That love goes forth forever. The love that's in you, the love that you release, the love that you release is something that's going forth. The agape love, that's a selfless love. It's love that gives without an expectation of return. That's a love that our marriage is supposed to be based in. When a man and a woman come together, most of the time in the world, and it's like me, it was all about me. What made me look good? What made me feel good? But it's supposed to be when we love, this love, that this agape love is what we're supposed to have in a marriage, to where we can give to one another without expectation of return. It's something that begins to transform the way that you think. Love will activate the fullness. It activates it exceedingly abundantly and above and beyond. We have to recognize that our external circumstance only controls our emotion when we choose to let it. It only controls our emotion when we choose to let it. There's a cycle that happens in the world. And where something causes us to be in fear and to want to shrink back, and our response is to become mad and angry. And as soon as we become mad and angry, then we have this little thing that comes alongside us called control. And so we step in and we begin to control the circumstance with our own abilities, our own self-effort. Because now I've controlled my environment and I've controlled the world around me, all of a sudden now pride comes on and goes, wow, didn't you do such a great job? And you go, yeah, I did. But see, that's not the cycle that God wants us in. That's not the way God invented it for us. That's not the way He envisioned it for us. He says, if you'll take the fear and you'll bring it to me, you'll come into my love, and in my love, I will show you a new way. You'll bring it to me and show me your love, because when you bring it to me and bring it into my love, now I can release the Holy Spirit. I can release my grace. See, there's a release of grace. There's a release of the Holy Spirit on your behalf when you allow Him that place, when you enter into His love. And when you release the Holy Spirit, then what happens as a result of the Holy Spirit and grace being released upon your life? There's no way you can take pride in that. Humility becomes the response. Humility is the response. Because God wants to bring us into this place. He's shifting the way that we do business as Christians. He's shifting the way that we think as Christians. And as part of coming into that corporate eyewitness, as part of coming into an understanding of His stewardship in our lives, because we can get a new look and a new perspective. You know, John 1 and 16 tells us that of His fullness we've all received. The only problem with that is I've looked around in my life and done some inventory, and I ain't got it yet. So now I see a key. Now I want to pursue the key. Because see, it's and then recognizing what this love and what the manifestation of love can do, what the manifestation of agape can do, that I can actually begin to walk in the fullness that I've been promised. So I wanted to recognize that. Because see, in that cycle, in the changes, we can look and understand that God is going to do something differently. He's going to cause us to do business differently. I heard an interesting testimony recently. And in this testimony, there was a guy who had a tremendous addiction. And in his addiction, he stole $70,000 from his employer. And the employer found out about it. Calls him into the office. And he said, I want to know what you're going to do. I want to know what your plan is that I don't turn you in. I want to know how you're going to repay this and how you're going to get free. And when this man was sitting there and recognizing that he had no alternatives and he understood, he chose to do something about it and he chose to engage what was being offered. He chose and he began to tell him what he could do to get out of the addiction. And he began to say, I promise I'll repay. And so he began to make a plan. And the boss said, I want you to go home and I want you to figure out just how much you can repay me each month. And so he went home and he figured out how I can cut out every little detail in his life so that he could repay the maximum amount as he possibly could. And he came up with a figure of $400 a month. He said, if I don't ever eat out, I don't go to a movie, I don't do anything but buy gas and go to work and come home, this is what I can do. So he brought it to the boss the next morning. They made their covenant about what they were going to do. And the next day, later that week when he got his check, he had a $400 raise. That's God. That's God's love being walked out. God's love being made evident. And you know the man? He repaid that whole $70,000. He still works with the guy and he stands there and he's found an understanding with God that he could not possibly have come to any other way. He managed to come out of the addiction because somebody showed him love. See, love covers a multitude of sin. It also covers our inadequacies, our insecurities, our fears. It covers all those things. See, love, when it's doing it, it's something that we can begin to trust in. When we begin to understand the nature of His love, now we can begin to have trust for God. Because if I truly understand that this person, his only intention is to bless me, his only intention is to love on me, why wouldn't I trust him? Why wouldn't I trust him? But see, there's something that happens in the middle of all that. See, is that when love is covering a multitude of sins, sometimes it requires something of you. See, there's something that happened last Sunday. Was LaRue began to speak just purely out of the Spirit of the Lord for the moment. He began to speak out of the Spirit of the Lord for the moment. He began to speak about forgiveness and all those kind of issues. And that's, I think, what stirred some of this that's in me this week. Because all this week, I've been stirred by the love of God. I've been finding myself weeping for no reason. Because I was simply sharing simple things and I couldn't even get it out. Because God is moving something in us. Because He's changing something in us. But you have to recognize that, you know, even when somebody's doing something to you and it's unjust, when they're coming, they're accosting you, maybe there's a reason. And it's not your insecurity. It's not your fear. It's not the inadequacy that you feel within you. It's none of those things. Because maybe when they're coming, God sent them because you're being exercised in something and you're giving me a chance for victory. Because sometimes when people are coming and they're accosting you, it's really not even about you. I remember a situation where that was happening to me and I was being convicted of things that I wasn't actually doing. And in that moment, first of all, I wanted to defend. And then I wanted to get mad. Is anybody in there? But the Lord showed me, He said, if you'll take yourself out of the picture, you've already done everything that could possibly be done to avoid this. If you'll take yourself out of the picture, you'll see that this is not even about you. What's happening here, it's about them. And so I understood that. Now I began to have a platform. I began to intercede for the other individual. And as I interceded for the other individual, you know the circumstance and the atmosphere around everything changed almost immediately. Because even as they were coming at me, I mean, even as they were barking at me, I was beginning to pray, Lord, I see the need in their heart now. I see the need in their heart. And in that heart, Father, I release your love now. I just release your truth, Father, to go right now, right there, right to the insecurity that this is all coming out of. And Lord, I want you to just minister, Lord, your heart and your love. And you know what? It changed the atmosphere. It changed the atmosphere. And it even changed the person. So those are the kind of things. See, God has given you a power. When somebody's coming and accosting you, God is giving you a power to address them. He's given you a power to change their life. That's the nature of the intercession that comes out of love. That's the nature of the intercession that comes out of an agape that we haven't always walked in, but it's available to us. We can walk through these things. We're being challenged tonight to step up and step out. To step out into what God has called us to do. To step out and represent Christ in an unusual way. To cast off the restraint. God's not looking for you to try harder. He's looking for you to invite Him in. It's because it's not about what we do in our self-effort. Agape is not about what we can actually do in our abilities. It's agape is how much can we surrender. How much can we surrender? You know, I came into a situation. You remember I gave testimony at one point in time about what it meant when somebody knocked my glasses off. But I realized something had changed when this one event came about because, see, in this event, someone punched me in the nose and they didn't just knock my glasses off, they broke my nose and I still got the little scar up here. But my response was something that I would never have dreamed that I could do because I just reached out and I hugged them. And I held on. I just held on. And I just loved them. And the anger dissipated. The hatred went away. And then when everything was calm and quiet, I went to the emergency room. God will allow you through His love to rewrite your history. He'll allow you to rewrite the things that you were. Because see, that's a whole rewrite of history for me. Because see, all I was an angry, I don't even know how to describe that. I was an angry and confused person. That was my natural state in the world, was to be angry, and I'd addressed every situation with anger and rage because I had learned I could get my way by doing that. I could control my environment by doing that. And see, when I began to realize that, and I began to see that now God is doing something else in me. When that day came, I recognized the victory. Because see, the victory is not in the avoiding. The victory is in the going through. Maybe I could have found myself to be somewhere else instead of getting my face punched. But you know what? I went through. And when I did, don't try that. when I went through, now I understand the victory. And it's not because I'm anybody different than anybody else, because we all have the same agape available to us. The same level of ability to let God be God is available to all of us. Hallelujah. God likes to show up. He likes to show off. He wants to demonstrate Himself. And see, love can have such an effect, and it can have a ripple effect. There was a young lady who came in for Sozo recently that I was told about. And as she came in, she had been an atheist just a week or two before. And because she came in and she got Sozo and let some things go, then the Lord was able to take her. And when she returned home to the family of atheists, they saw the change. They saw something happened. They saw that this person is different. It's not the same person. And they began to realize, they have something that I want. They have something that I need. And the mom who looked at her and said, How do I get what you've got? I want to know about this Jesus. See, it was as the testimony was in her action. The testimony was in the love that was being released. The testimony was in the words that were different and the fact that the anger was no longer there. There's a testimony God wants to release in you. His agape is setting you up to release a testimony. His agape is setting you up to release a testimony, to be a testimony. Those are the things that we have to recognize. Our greatest acts are not just out of obedience. Our greatest acts come from love. Our greatest acts come from allowing the love that God is placing within us, the agape that God is placing in us, to pour out on somebody. Those are the things that God is utilizing us for. Those are the things He's drawing us into. Those are the things that you have to recognize, that even the eyewitness is a release of His love. Because see, God wants to leave a testimony of Himself that's undeniable. He wants to leave a testimony of Himself that will change a nation. He wants to leave a testimony of Himself that cannot be adulterated in any way. And it comes through the eyewitness. There's great power, great release found in this. So if you turn with me to Acts 7, I'm going to back you up to 6. There's a verse I want you to read. 6, verse 8. Acts 6, verse 8. And it says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great signs and wonders among the people. And when some men of the synagogue, called the freedmen, including the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, came from Sicilia and Asia and rose up and argued with Stephen, yet they were unable to cope with him because with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." This is the new breed. This is the new breed. It was an old breed and now it's a new breed. It was an old breed and now it's a new breed. But this is the breed because they're not going to be able to cope with the wisdom and understanding that is being released. Because you're going to operate out of the spirit of the Lord. You're going to operate. Just, you're going to stand up there and you're just going to just download. Because in that download, there's going to be something that just transfixes them and transforms them. Because agape transforms us. Agape transforms whatever the target is. But see, what I see here is it doesn't mention it, but you know what? Stephen was operating in a tremendous level of love. He was not only operating in grace and wisdom, but also a tremendous level of love. And we're going to see that over here in chapter 7. Verse 54, it says, "Now when they heard this," see, Stephen had been given the defense of the gospel. He presented them the whole message from the beginning to the end. And he convicted them. With his words, he convicted them of their operations. He convicted them of their hardened hearts and their unbelief. And now there's a response on their part. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and they began gnashing their teeth at him." How angry do you got to be at somebody to be gnashing your teeth? It's pretty agitated. "But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God." There's your eyewitness. "And Jesus, standing at the right hand of God, said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears." They didn't want to hear it. This man is in the middle of an experience with God and they don't want to know. He's in the middle of an eyewitness encounter and they don't want to know. They got to cover their ears and say, "No, don't tell us about it. Don't release that love on us. Don't tell us anything about this." They covered their ears out of cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. "And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the eyewitnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. He died. He gave up his spirit. But with his last breath, he loosed heaven on behalf of those who were there. With his last breath, he loosed heaven to come and do something about this situation. Come and show them a love and a grace that could not be withheld. He showed them a grace. He showed them a love that surpasses knowledge. Just like we read about in Ephesians 3 and 17. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. It's a love that goes beyond the love that we can possibly even understand. Matthew 18 and 18 says, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And he loosed forgiveness. He loosed forgiveness. And he loosed God and heaven to go after Paul. And now while we know what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus, the Lord comes into him in a blinding light. And that blinding light uncovers every nakedness within Paul. And that blinding light uncovers him, and he begins to recognize one thing in that moment. He said, whatever this is, it's Lord. He said, Lord, I need to surrender. He recognized his day of visitation. And because he recognized his day of visitation, he changed an entire, not just a generation, but he changed all of history for Christ. Because of that one eyewitness encounter that Stephen was having set up for another eyewitness encounter for Paul to have, because he was loosed to go do it. God was loosed to go do it. He said, go out in this release. And Paul found himself in a new place. Paul was zealous for God. He just didn't know the right God. He was zealous. He just didn't know that he was doing the wrong thing. He needed somebody to be released to come and give him the place to see, the place to encounter. The agape that was in Stephen, that agape surpassed all knowledge. That agape surpassed all knowledge, and it released an encounter with God. It released something that had not been done before, and it released something that has changed an entire world history. Entire world history is what is released. That's where the fullness that we have is to come, in the release of the agape.